The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Daily World Cup Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Lee Phelps to look ahead to the action on Sunday. I hear there's quite a big game, Lee.
Yeah, there's some sort of final, isn't there?
I don't know. I haven't really been following
cup,
it.
So. The cup final, they call it, I think.
Something like that. Germany against Argentina, apparently. Coming up from the Maracanã, we've got 5-4 Germany, the draw 21-10, Argentina at 13-5. Now, this World Cup, people have been saying it's been the best World Cup ever. I'd be tempted to agree with them, by the way. You've been out there, you've sampled it. First and foremost, has it been the best World Cup ever? I'm going to take yours as the definitive answer on this, Lee.
I'm quite concerned, by the way, before we get into that the line that I'm on now is worse than the line that I was on in Brazil, and I'm only in Grimsby. I mean, what's going on? Do you know what? I mean, I'm probably not the best person to speak to from the perspective of the games, because I didn't actually get to see that many games in their entirety, because I was always like either filming fans watching the game, so you're not really concentrating, or you're kind of just out working doing other things. But obviously I've seen a lot of the highlights, and I've seen a lot of the games since I've been back, which was from the quarterfinal stage. In terms of atmosphere, obviously I'll always remember it, because, you know, being out there with the fans was just spectacular. That it's like a really bad cliche, isn't it, that the fans make these tournaments, but I get what people mean now, because there's great camaraderie between, you know, opposing fans. There's great, you know, the partying that goes on after is amazing. Mm. Everyone's in such a good mood. So from that perspective, it probably would be, because Brazil's a fantastic place. They love football. You know, they shut Rio de Janeiro down when Brazil play. That's how much it means to them, and, you know, that's like shutting London down for when England play. So yeah, I mean, the early part, the group stages were brilliant, weren't they? I think it was just such a nice kind of change from the normal kind of football that we tend to get international wise, which and to a certain extent in the top European competitions, which tends to be kind of, you know, a bit more defensive, a bit more kind of, we'll close you down and we're not going to let you have any space. It was just like we're just all going to attack. And I think it maybe stemmed from that very first. The drubbing that Spain got from Holland, maybe that kind of lit the touch paper. I also think, Alex, that, you know, as football fans or as broadcasters or whatever else, because it was in Brazil, it had a little bit of an added edge to it, didn't it? It's like, it's in Brazil. Mm. But why wouldn't that be the same for the players and coaches and staff on these teams? I know they're all superstars, but even to a superstar, playing football in Brazil, in the Maracanã, in Sao Paulo, wherever, that has to have an added bit of special to it, doesn't it? And I think that's maybe why it was so good early on. Now, it's kind of changed a bit from the round of 16 through the quarters and semis, because maybe a little bit of tiredness has crept in, because it has been very hot and some of the kickoff times have been ludicrous, frankly. And I think also maybe a touch of fear crept in as well, where people suddenly realise that not, you know, not losing was more important than winning a game, because you've always got that added edge of having penalties, external penalties to go for. So yeah, I mean, I think let us have the World Cup, let it sink in, and let us have a couple of years to look back on it, and then we'll look back. I mean, what do you class as the greatest World Cup in your memory, Alex? And I suppose for me, Italia 90 would probably be mine, but that's because England did so well. It was so exciting from, you know, it was the first time where I could actually go out and have a drink and watch it, if you know what I mean.
Well, my first memory of a World Cup was 98.
Right, okay. So you haven't got that many to judge on?
Well, I like 2002, but that might have just been because of the kickoff times, I think. Do you know what I mean? I remember being, I was in year six, and we got to get going early to watch England-Brazil. But I don't know. I personally think this one, and that might be for a number of reasons. Like you said, it's the first time that I've legally been able to go for a few pints and watch the game. That may have an effect. I just think it's everything's worked perfectly. The kickoff times for an English audience have been fantastic.
Yeah.
5, 8 and 11, wasn't it, in the group stages?
Yeah.
Which is perfect. Like, you could not ask for better kickoff times. Like you said, goals. I watched pretty much every single group game. I've actually missed a few of the knockout games, not because you get bored of them, but just because you think, well, that's going to be, you know, a bit quiet. Or whereas in the group stages, every team seemed to go for it. Even Greece were forced to attack occasionally, weren't they?
This disappointing thing, you know, as well, is that I know we've talked a lot about England and a lot's been written and spoken about them, but the disappointing thing is now, when you look at what we've had in the round of 16 and the quarterfinals and even the semi-finals, you know, no one's been... England couldn't cope with the pace of the game, it seemed to me, looking back on it. They couldn't cope with that attacking kind of spirit and the way the games were being played. They could have coped with these games because it's just set yourself up very well and don't do anything daft.
Yeah.
It was when they tried to kind of be expansive, and I think they got, you know, the Manaus thing obviously had some... When you look at now, when you look at the teams who played in Manaus, their following games, I may be corrected on this, but I don't think any team won a game after having played at Manaus. So, you know, maybe it was a bit too much. I thought they played very well there. Maybe they put a bit too much into that Italy game and that cost them, but by the by. But yeah, I've obviously thoroughly enjoyed it from a kind of, you know, from what I've seen of the football inside of it, and I know how great the group stages were. Obviously being out there was brilliant, and I think it's just been great all around. It's been, you know, I think that, you know, from another point, you know, from, you know, being back home and watching a match with Twitter, you know, by my side, that adds another element to watching the World Cup matches, because it's so funny. It's like having your own kind of... Some of the older listeners might remember fantasy football, when Dean and Skinner used to do like the fantasy football shows, and you had this like this humour that ran alongside the football. Well, Twitter's kind of replaced that now, but it's like it's doing it while you're watching a game. It's like this live comedy kind of accompaniment, depending on who's on your timeline. And I love the media. So I love the amount of stuff that we can now clean about games as punters, how much stuff you can actually, you know, research into the games, how many options there are for highlights, you know, the product that the BBC puts out on the website, and it's just amazing, really, isn't it, when you think about how much information you can get on previews, reviews and everything else. So it probably is the best ever for a number of reasons.
You mentioned Twitter there. Have you seen the maps, if you like, on Twitter during a game? That Brazil-Germany game, I was watching it back, and obviously sort of, it's like the weather, I suppose. You've got yellow is just sort of a normal amount of tweets, and then occasionally it'll flash red. That Brazil-Germany game, as the second, third, fourth and fifth went in, the whole world, it seemingly, was just lit up in red on this map. It has gripped the whole world in a way that, I know that everyone has always watched the World Cup, but now you've got so many people offering opinions on it and having their say, if you like.
Yeah.
It does change the way that you watch it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think another thing you kind of half touched on there is that you mentioned the whole world watching it. Maybe for the first time, the whole world has been watching it, because, you know, you've had Russia have been involved, which is obviously a massive chunk of the globe. And let's not forget, you know, Australia had more fans than anyone else from a foreign team in the early stages, and the USA. I mean, the way the USA the USA took to the World Cup for the very first time, really, if that can carry on, then that will be brilliant for world football. And I think, you know, it won't be long again before we see a World Cup in the USA again, if that is the case, because I think USA 94 was, whether you enjoyed it or not, from an outsider's point of view, and obviously England didn't qualify, the US public didn't take to it at all. Now, if there was a World Cup in the USA in the next 10, 12 years, and I think they would take to it. I mean, just speaking to the US fans out there, it just reminded me a little bit of the kind of England fans maybe 20 years ago, that enthusiasm, without the hooliganism, obviously, but the enthusiasm and just the wanting to have a great time, whatever the result was. I think that's another massive plus. It's probably the very first worldwide audience for the World Cup.
Well, we're left with Germany and Argentina in the final. I don't think anyone could debate that Germany deserved their place there. I think their overall play has been up there with the best of the teams. Argentina, for me, are still yet to really click, as far as I'm concerned. They've had sparks, they've had bits of brilliance, mainly from Messi. Do you think they deserve their place in the final, first and foremost?
Yeah, I backed him at 9-2. So
yeah. That's sufficient reason, is it? Okay.
I get what you mean. I get what you're saying. Mm. You know, they've not lit the tournament up. But then they've been faced with parked buses at every twist and turn, haven't they, Alex? You know, from the very first game, I watched that Argentina-Bosnia game all the way through, and I was really impressed by how Bosnia closed them down and how they were so good at stopping Argentina play. But then you got to like the 60th minute mark, and it was like they tired a little bit, and then Argentina started to find a little bit of space and get into them a bit more. Then you had Iran, who, you know, who played really well, but, you know, they shut up shop and tried to hit them on the counter. Belgium probably didn't do it as well as they should have done, to be fair. But then you look at the Dutch, I mean, look at that formation, that picture that was doing the rounds on Twitter when you saw the 6-3-1 formation. Mm. I mean, when you're faced with international players who are defending for their lives, it must be very difficult to break that down, even if you are Messi or even if you are a good side. The only team that really opened up against them were Nigeria, and Argentina scored 3 against them. Nigeria actually scored 2 against them. But, you know, so the only game where they had almost like a free rein to go and play their own brand of football, they scored 3 times. So that says quite a lot to me. I think they were I understand why people haven't taken to them, but from a footballing point of view, I quite like watching them. I think they're a team who, they try to change the game to suit their pace. Mm. So they'll slow a game down to make sure it's what they want out of the game. And I think they have been faced with Messi being man-marked, Messi maybe not being 100% fit, maybe not being quite having the energy levels that they would have needed him to have. But even still, you know, at the end of that, at the end of the Holland game, there was one moment in the extra time when he burst down the right hand side and went round a player and clipped the ball in, and, you know, a better finish would have seen a winning goal in extra time. So even then, when he'd been kicked from pillar to post and manhandled and man marked for, you know, what, probably 115 minutes of a match, he still had that extra burst of pace to go and do it. So I think that's the crucial thing for me for this game. If Germany decide to man-mark Messi, then I think they will win the game, because I think they'll have the quality up front to get a goal here and there, and it'll be a very attritional game, and I think it'll be a little bit like the Holland game, but maybe not quite as bereft of chances. That's a big if, though. I can't see Germany doing that. I don't see why Germany would, knowing what the German kind of mentality is like and how well they've played at times in this World Cup. I say at times because they've had 2 really good games, and the rest were all right. But if they don't man Mark Messi, then we should be in for a very good World Cup final, because I think he'll have enough about him, he'll have enough energy to, you know, for the adrenaline to kind of create something special from Messi. If they don't man Mark Messi, I'm going for Argentina. If they do man Mark Messi, I'm going for Germany.
Okay.
I don't think they will either.
But you said that Nigeria, the only side that attacked, if you like, that tried to take Argentina on, and you said they scored twice.
Yes.
Now, Germany are better going forward than Nigeria.
Mm.
Does that not mean that by almost saying to Argentina, look, we're going to attack you, we're going to outscore you, that they'll be able to do so? Because Argentina, at the back, that was a huge doubt coming into it, wasn't it, about how they defend?
Yeah, it was.
And if we're being honest, it hasn't really massively been tested. They've looked solid when they've needed to be, but under a barrage, you know, we're still yet to see how they'd react. Do you not think that Germany going forward might have a bit too much for the Argentine defence?
Could do. I think the manager's found a way. I think, you know, with De Michelis has come in and played very well. I think he's found a way of creating. I mean, defensively they were superb against Holland, weren't they? I mean, it was a battle of 2 unbelievable defences, really. You know, and you look at, you know, they have kept clean sheets. I mean, the defences are very similar. The defensive records are fairly similar between Germany and Argentina. Look, I think they're both defensively susceptible. You know, you look at how many times Algeria got behind the German defence in that match, and it was worrying. I mean, you kind of sat there thinking, what? Mm. How are Algeria doing this to Germany? Obviously, you know, they conceded 2 goals to Ghana. They had a clean sheet against the USA.
They do look a lot better for having Philipp Lahm at fullback, though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's a class player. I noticed he's in the Golden Ball list, isn't he? And he probably deserves it. I mean, he's so many World Cups now. And, just such a quality, consistent player. I can make an argument for both sides. You know, I can make an argument for Germany to win it and for Argentina to win it. I just think that if Messi is given more freedom, then we'll see a bit more from Argentina. But I understand all the arguments about the Germans and why they should win this, and I understand why they're the favourites. But because they're so, I think, because these teams are so close together and I can make equal arguments, I can't see why Argentina should be such a big outsider in this.
Yeah.
In this, and it's not. They got to the World Cup final for a reason. They've got the best player in the world in their team. You know, I've liked Perez actually. I'm presuming. I've not seen any team news that's saying that Di Maria's got any kind of chance.
I think he did some light training yesterday.
Mm.
He won't start.
No,
he may come off the bench if needed, but he can't be fit.
No, he can't be fit. But if he's anywhere near, and they can bring him off the bench for 20. Because I was really impressed with him. I mean, in the when they beat Belgium. I thought you had a poor game, but he was still going for it, like right near the end of that match. And so I do think that if they can bring him off the bench, that might be an added extra for them. There's no getting away from the fact that Germany have looked at times the best team in the World Cup. On their day, I just don't think they've been tested by a team like Argentina.
Mm.
Argentina are dogged and nasty and horrible, aren't they? And they'll niggle away at you. And you know, I don't mean that in a disciplinary sense, because they haven't committed any more fouls than anywhere else. And I think you know they've committed something like 40 fewer fouls than Holland going into their semi-final. So I don't mean that in a nasty way. I just mean that they're so you know they look like they've got. Steel in their eyes, I think, Argentina. And they've had to do it the hard way, haven't they? Really hard. So I'm just going to, like, from a betting point of view, I've backed them before the tournament started. So, you know, the obvious thing for me to do would be just to back Germany.
Yeah.
Sit back, lift the trophy. But Germany should lift the trophy, and that's, you know, everyone's happy. But obviously, if you haven't had a bet, and we're not doing it from that point of view, I can understand why people would go for Germany. I just like, you know, I like Messi. I think Messi's going to have a game. I can't believe that he won't, that they'll man mark him. And I think he'll have more space than he's had in the last couple of matches in the quarterfinal and the semi-final. And I just think that that he'll have a massive influence on the game. I could see it going to extra time, though, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, for the match we won in extra time, I haven't seen the Hills price today, but I'd imagine it'd be around 4-1. I wouldn't even be surprised if it went to penalties. You know, you look back at previous World Cup finals, Alex, and three of the last five have gone past 90 minutes. Two of them, of course, settled in extra time and one on penalties. Already Argentina have had two games that have gone into extra time and one penalty, and Germany have gone into extra time already. It wouldn't be a big surprise to me if this was a draw at all. And then, you know, so I think if you're having a bet on who wins, I would err on the side of caution and go for who lifts the trophy personally. Mm. And I wouldn't put anyone off having a cheeky little bet on it being won in extra time.
Okay.
No, but I think I'm right in saying there's only been one penalty shootout in the World Cup final. So, you know, the extra time is the obvious, you know, it gets done eventually. I imagine you'd be pretty tired going to extra time in the World Cup final, all the emotional and physical energy that you expel.
Okay, we've got prices then. Match betting, Germany 5-4, the draw 21-10, Argentina 13-5. To lift the World Cup, Germany are 4-6, Argentina are 6-5. Got some headline offers. Muller to score and Germany to win in 90 minutes, 3-1. Messi to score and Argentina to win in 90 minutes, 4-1. I'd imagine they'll both be pretty popular.
Yeah.
Match result and both teams to score. Germany 9-2, the draw 7-2, Argentina 8-1. To win in extra time or penalties, Germany 4-1, Argentina 5-1. To win in extra time, Germany 10-1, Argentina 11-1. And to win on penalties, Germany 8-1 and Argentina also 8-1. If you think the match will go to penalties, you can just back that on the outright. Match to go to penalties, yes, at 4-1, no, at 1-7.
I may have missed it. Did you say, is there a market on the match to go to extra time?
I can't find one.
That's just a draw, though, isn't it? So they must just give out the same price as the draw. I noticed, the only reason I asked that, I know it sounds like a daft question, but I'd noticed that there was a bigger price for the match to go to extra time than the draw
earlier
this week, which I was quite intrigued by, so I was just double checking that
I can't see a market. It may be down towards the bottom of the console.
It's just a draw,
but it is just a draw, which is 21-10.
I had no idea why. I mean, exactly, and the match to go to extra time was 23-10.
Right.
I was just intrigued to see if we could nick a little point here and there.
Mm. No, right, okay, so we've gone through some of the markets there. You've already said what you're erring towards, but
yeah.
In terms of your best bets for this game, In terms of who you think will win, players that you think will figure. Where would you be going?
I'd be going low on the goals for a start. I don't think there'll be many goals in the match. I think it'll follow the same way that the other Argentina games have, and I think Germany will be a little bit on edge. They won't be going to the sound of the trumpets from moment one. So I'd be looking at low on the goals. I think it will go to extra time, so I'd play the draw, but I'd play Argentina to lift the trophy. I think it's got their name on it, to a certain extent. I just think they've been so dogged and so determined to get through. And to do it in Brazil, and the fans that will be there, they'll have vastly more fans in the stadium than Germany will. Admittedly, some of the Brazilian fans will be on Germany's side as well, but despite the 7-1. So I just think there's a lot in Argentina's favour. There's a lot that isn't, I admit that, but I'm just going to go with them. I think the market has overreacted to Germany's win over Brazil. We saw last night, Brazil are terrible. Brazil have gone at the game. Something's happened to Brazil. Don't know whether it was a Neymar injury, whatever it was, something's happened to them. And all Germany had to do, Argentina would have done that to Brazil on the night, if that was what Brazil were like. You know, loads of teams would have done something similar to them. All Germany had to do was pass the ball properly, and they found themselves stood in front of the goal, and it was like, oh, I'll have a shot then. I mean, it was ludicrous. So I think there's been an overreaction to that game. The other game that they played well in was Portugal 4-0, fantastic, but then they followed that up with a mediocre, you know, games against, really, you know, compared to how they're being lauded against Ghana, against USA and Algeria. So, you know, I think when they come up against a disciplined, well-organised team, they'll find it harder to do what they've been doing. So that's why I'm siding with Argentina, but, you know, I wouldn't argue too hard with anyone who wanted to, you know, argue for a Germany win, because it's been that kind of World Cup, hasn't it?
It has. You mentioned unders on the goals. Under 2.5 is 1-2. Under 1.5, 13-8. And if you think it'll be 0-0, under half a goal is 13-2.
What about looking at the first goal to be scored after the 31st minute? That's a market I've liked in the knockout stages. Obviously, there's a lot of fear in these teams. I know Germany got off to an absolute flyer against Brazil, but I think there's obviously a bit more fear. It's about not conceding early in these games, so I think it'll be a bit of passing around and, you know, not too much really direct attacking in the first 15 minutes at least. So that's usually around 21-20, Mark. Have we got anything like that?
Match goal...
So it's first goal scored after the 31st minute. Obviously, you do need a goal. That's the kind of... You need a goal to be scored, so a 0-0 would hurt you.
I don't think we've got, actually... I can't find the correct one here. There's time of first Germany and time of first Argentina. That's under goal time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't. There's obviously the ones for their own respective sides. But there's one towards the bottom there that might tempt you. Argentina to score first and the first goal after 31 minutes is 3-1. That's not bad, is it?
Yeah. It's just knowing what happens in the game that you're having to predict so much that happens in the game. That I'm not that confident that Argentina will score in the first. You know, so that's not the reason I'm having a bet, if you like, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, maybe that'll pop up a bit later
on.
Then it's usually around just the right side of even money.
Here we are. I think I found it. There we are. 31st minute and over. Time of first goal. 10-11.
All right, it's either way because of the kind of the nature of the game, I guess, and the way it's been going. But I still don't mind it.
Yeah, that is under. It's actually under the goal tab, not the goal time tab. If you want to find that.
Yeah.
Okay. You said unders. We've gone over that. Argentina to lift the trophy 6-5. One market that really tempted me: Messi to score at any time, but Germany to lift the trophy. In fact, it might not be to lift the trophy, actually. It might just be to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's just to win. But that's 9-1. Now, I know you're asking for a lot of goals there, but I'm of the opinion that Germany will win, myself.
Yeah.
And I think if Argentina are going to score, it will be Messi. So I don't mind that at 9-1.
Yeah.
You're in the Argentina camp. I'm just in the Germany camp.
I agree with you on Messi, by the way. I think he'll score. I think he'll get more space.
Six to four to score any time.
I mean, you do European football podcasts every week, Alan. You know what prices he is to score week in, week out, you know.
Well, he's usually about 2-7 any time as a general guide. Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, on the European podcast, me and Ray are huge fans of Di Maria. if he can feature, I think that would be a huge boost for Argentina.
Massive. That would change. That would change quite a lot. I think if we knew he was going to come on for the last 20 minutes, I think that could change quite a lot. Like I said, I thought Perez was great in the previous. Mascherano's been. Do you know Mascherano might be my player of the tournament?
Yeah. Well, I think
magnificent.
I think it's him, James Rodriguez, and potentially Muller if he scores in this final, but. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Lahm as well. He's got to be in there. But Mascherano defensively has just been... He's just done all the dirty work, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I love that. I love that kind of... I kind of like that Holland-Argentina game when everyone else was hating it because it was just so like...
It's just attritional,
niggly,
isn't it?
Niggly, yeah. And like nasty little fouls being committed here and there. It's great.
Okay, so you are on the Argentina side.
Yeah.
If I was to say you,
but with a draw in full time, in normal time.
Okay, you've got one bet for this game. What's it going on?
Argentina to win the World Cup at 6-5. You said
6-5.
Yeah.
Argentina to lift the trophy at 6-5 for Lee Phelps. I will take you on. I think Germany will lift it at 4-6. But I'm with you. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be cagey.
Yeah.
And I think extra time would not surprise anyone whatsoever, which is why I think. For Argentina, the 6-5 to lift the World Cup is quite a bit shorter than the 13-5 to win the match.
Mm.
If you're back in Germany at 5-4, take the 4-6 about them to lift the World Cup.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I don't think there's a huge difference there. Well, yeah. in comparison to Argentina anyway. But enjoy the action. Oh, go on, Lee.
One little bit of in play. If anyone's having a bet on this in play, those 5-minute markets in the first 30 minutes, I'd seriously be looking at nothing happening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it'll be a lot of, like, passing. I don't think it'll be loads and loads of corners in this match either. I don't think it'll be, like, really expansive. We've seen some of the Argentina games where it's been tight. There've been hardly been any corners. I mean, you could have gone under 10, I think, in a couple of them. Belgium game, I think there was very few. So, I mean, I think, especially early on, just look at those five-minute markets, and if the price for nothing to happen early on is backable for you, then I'd be having a look at that.
Okay. Yep, I couldn't disagree with that. Nothing to happen on the in-play markets. Get on those early doors, really.
Yeah.
We've got straight away first 5 minutes. What will happen? Goal 9-1, corner 7-5, card 20-1, penalty 28-1. Nothing 8-11.
Mm.
That could be a lovely start to the evening, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit skinny, isn't it? But you know,
it's skinny for a reason.
Yeah.
So, okay then, Lee. Enjoy the action tonight. It should be a fantastic game. It's been a fantastic World Cup, and hopefully it can go off in the same way.
Excellent, thank you. I'm going to have steak rather than like a German sausage.
All right. I might go buy some German sausage on the way home, actually.
Enjoy your sauerkraut.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.